Jackie McLean, one of the greats. He died in 2006 at the age of 74 with Hypnosis is the title of that tune. This was recorded in the 1960s, but it wasn't released until 1978. This is Lead Stories. I'm Retrice Lead, and we start off today with the mayhem in Venezuela. As you might have known by now, picked up on the news, what we had been talking about for quite some time, the lead up to the eventual outburst of violence in the course of a takeover or an attempted takeover of the Venezuelan government actually occurred. And now comes how to deal with it and the how do you deal with the fallout. But curiously, as with most things involving United States underground or underhanded help, and poking the and stoking the fires of other countries, and in other countries, are we hearing anything from the U.S.? All that talk and all that aggravation that the United States led that movement to basically perform a coup, to remove the democratically elected president of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro. And there was this sudden vision of a young upstart who had an idea that he deserved to be the president of the country, and he set about the plan to take it over, to take over the country. He thought he would have had help from the military, and he did attract the help of some, but in the end, the military leadership remained loyal to Maduro and to the people. But he did cause a violent eruption in the country and a major crisis. The United States openly played a role here and a strategic role, giving assurances to Juan Guaido. This is the opposition leader who had hoped to install himself. In fact, he did. He swore himself in months ago as the new leader of Venezuela. And so we had a country split apart, torn at the seams, and we had talk from the administration, the Trump administration, that this was just the right thing to do. We did not see a discussion in Congress about the illegal move that the United States had made, contravening just about everything we know about international law. Countries should work their situations out themselves and should be the ones calling for help if they need help or if they see that things are getting way out of hand. But the Maduro regime did not ask the United States for help. The United States volunteered its help to the next in line, as they saw it, this created person, and remained in that position, said that this is the best thing for Venezuela, this is the best thing that could happen, and let us help bring about the best thing. Well, the best thing has happened. Over the weekend, as you know, there were very serious internal problems in Venezuela with people loyal to the legitimate government and people taking sides with the interloper. Since then, we have heard nothing. So one would believe that the United States was really not involved. And now, even as it takes that position, that it was not involved, but if it were involved, it would have placed its bets with Guaido. If, for some theoretical reason, there ought to be a discussion about that, yes, the United States, we could say that we were involved. This is the Trump administration and its position. We supported Mr. Guaido. Now, how this whole thing is going to work out, I don't know. I'm not sure that anybody knows at this moment. But here's what we know. This crisis in leadership in Venezuela, provoked principally by the United States, aided and abetted by the United States, in turn provoked an international crisis because we had China, Cuba, and Russia, principally, lining up behind the existing government, that is, President Maduro. And we have the United States pushing this candidate and supporting this ruffian who just decided to install himself, confident that he would get the help, military and otherwise, from the United States to ascend the throne. It's not happening. We don't know what is happening now. How do you run a country when this level of mayhem exists? This was not a joke. This was the real thing. You can say, theoretically, Venezuela is at war with itself. There's a civil war now. And compounding the civil war is the next level of possible threat of the countries that had expressed solidarity with Venezuela now being directly at odds with the United States militarily, insofar as other countries with the United States had formed a kind of coalition to bring this new government into being. What is clear is that in typical fashion, after absolute mayhem and craziness is visited upon a nation, there was no need to do it, but the United States did it. There is nothing now but silence. And Americans are supposed to just concentrate on the upcoming 2020 election. That is what should concern us. It should not bother us that the United States ventured into another country, helped to create havoc in that country, which will last for a long time, and which brought to our experience, and we're lucky we haven't experienced it. Perhaps the additional word I ought to put here is yet a direct confrontation that would go beyond what already has happened. We, the citizens of the United States, we have joined it. We are quiet. We have joined it in its adventurism abroad. We have said by our silence, well, you know, they tried a little something there, but it didn't work out, and thank God for that. Now let's move on. When we should be very, very troubled about the role of the United States in this latest skirmish, and it's not a skirmish when it happens to you. It's a skirmish when it happens to somebody else. But from this weekend, this entire weekend, where things actually crystallized, and when it was very clear about who is fighting whom and why, and what the role of the United States is, and we can see it had a leadership role in fomenting this internal strife in Venezuela. As much as we supposedly have some contentions of our own here in the United States with this president and with his administration, we've all agreed to be silent. We've all agreed to give Donald Trump a pass. It's not as if it's a big thing, you understand. It's just a little country. So, you know, we can overlook some lapses in judgment by the United States here, as if this is a lapse in judgment. This was a very well-planned effort, because ultimately the prize is Venezuela itself. Its assets, and it is rich in oil. It is rich in labor. It is rich in the soil, what it grows. It is rich because it is perfectly located in the Caribbean in a way that it could be, if a country so desires, it could be the epicenter of the U.S.'s growth of empire in that region. Because there are other nations as well, not quite able to protect themselves from the military might of the United States, if it should come to that. But I'm saying to you, our discussion should be the silence. We saw it coming. We saw the plans taking effect. We saw U.S. administration personnel rationalizing the support of Venezuela and military involvement in Venezuela, and it was made real. And in the aftermath, when all things are possible, it is not yet decided that the current president is not going to be chased out. And anyway, it is not yet decided whether he will remain. It has not been decided at all. And as Americans, we should be very concerned about what happened. And we need to bring some kind of pressure to bear in Congress so that there is some accountability for this insanity that has occurred, presumably in our name. All right, so that's the first topic I'd like to talk about. With your help, I'd like to get an understanding of what do you think should be done by us, the citizens, the ordinary people of this country? What should our attitude be? When our country misbehaves like this, and we in turn make it, well, it's not really that bad, or we outright support this kind of lawlessness on the part of the United States. And it continues, the fallout continues, because there was no definitive resolution of the military operation that occurred. So let's give this a try as we start out at 888-874-4888. What exactly should be happening in the United States based on the developments in Venezuela and the developments leading up to this weekend of the clear intent to topple a regime, a duly elected government, and instead forcibly install another, one that, quote, we like, unquote? What has happened to our notion of our nation and how it ought to behave, not just by itself, but in the world community of nations? We have nothing but dead silence. What does that mean? And in turn, what does it mean to us? How do we express our views about this? And how do we compel our government to observe international law, to observe U.S. law, to observe proper protocols, and to not interfere in a sovereign nation's problems? If they wanted help, they would have asked. They didn't ask. But we have the United States absolutely and unapologetically interfering. I suppose the argument would be made that, in fact, was the U.S.'s best defense in a situation where we saw the development of war within a country, which ultimately would envelop the United States. So it was a proactive measure to get involved, pick a side, support that side, and to continue to support that side as a way of restoring peace. Now, it's a strange argument, but it has been the standard argument that we've had. Is it standard for you? Is this right? Do you feel good about being an American today? With a country behaving as lawlessly as this administration has, and creating all kinds of friction, all kinds of problems that will be around for a long time. Instead of working toward peace, let's say the United States has a view that inevitably it would come to war, So what you do is you marshal your resources and you get, as a leader, you bring together other communities, other nations, and the task would be to prevent any kind of war. No kind of war is good. No kind of war is good. And to avoid the catastrophe that eventually happened. And now that it has happened, there is silence. What are we supposed to understand by that? Is that what you call an administrative decision? We will say nothing? Is that a solution? And to what degree does that now imperil us? Because now the United States officially aided and abetted the destruction, the internal destruction of a nation, getting absolutely no, quote, permission from anybody, seeking none, but taking it upon itself to be the final arbiter of what should happen in a country where a president, whether you like it or not, was elected in a vote, installed according to law by vote, and should be given, because it was given to him, the right to rule the nation according to the laws of the nation. And this was a time that the US decided we're kind of bored. And besides which, we're long overdue a nice little war in the Caribbean. Let's have one. And then we have this ambitious, super ambitious egomaniac, 37 years old, deciding, look, I could take him. I don't need to go through the normal annoyances of running my own election. I don't need to deal with that. I could just get up one morning and say, I am the new president of Venezuela. You should disobey the current government, you should defy the current government, and you should prepare yourself for armed engagement with the current president, because that's what we will have to do, up to and including killing the president and members of his cabinet. And we will be doing this in the name of the Lord. We will be doing this as our duty to restore our country to democratic rule. And that's the way it's going to be. You can't do anything to undo what we see as the inevitable. 888-874-4888 is the number to call to comment on that. I really would be interested in what you have to say on this question, because it really is very troublesome that in the aftermath of the last few days of US involvement and activity in support of a renegade leader deciding he needs to install himself, we had lots of we had warfare in the country, right in our own backyard. And the United States was a leading force in fomenting that violence. It did not attempt to bring a different approach, a different understanding of ways to solve a problem, because it never intended to solve the problem. They had their man, and they went there to support their candidate, their guy. I feel sad for us because we're quiet. I feel sad that we have witnessed this country methodically sink deeper and deeper and trying to fool Americans now that it did nothing. You know, as a press secretary insists, the president has done nothing wrong. Lisa from New York, what are your thoughts?
Hi, you trees. How are you?
Hello. Okay, how are you?
I'm fine. I actually lost my train of thought. I think there were two things I wanted to mention. But in terms of what Americans need to be doing, we should be out there on the streets and also calling our legislators to let them know that not only that we don't support this attempted coup, but that that we don't believe in this sort of intervention, and we are aware of what's going on. You know, if you listen to the mainstream news, we're told all these things, how President Maduro is a dictator. I mean, not only were elections held, they were just held in May of 2018. He won by a margin of 6 million votes. You know, you hear people still calling for new elections. I mean, you know, why are we not recognizing those elections? And by the way, there were international observers, on Black Agenda Radio, maybe a month and a half ago, there was a woman who was one of the observers, and she explains in minute detail everything about how the elections work in Venezuela. So, you know, I get a little frustrated with people who say, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't go in, but Maduro's a dictator. Well, you know, it's time for people to figure out where they can get information. And MSNBC is not the place. I was just about to say, and I can't remember what it was, but just the fact that there have been demonstrations at the Venezuelan embassy, in Washington, Medea Benjamin with Code Pink, you know, she's always out there. I mean, I did feel good about the fact that there were more people demonstrating with that organization than usual. Usually, I feel like she's by herself. But we do need to demonstrate. We need anti-war movements. We do have some anti-war movements, such as the Black Alliance for Peace. But people just need to know about these organizations.
How do we engage with the principal offender here, which is Congress? How do we engage with Congress and say, you guys are responsible? You are letting this bully of a president do whatever he wants to do. And well, then we have the racist aftermath that we shouldn't be concerned. It's a little country. They're just people called. Don't worry about it. You know, things will blow over, and in time we return to normal. What should we be forcing Congress to do? How do we force the issue being discussed?
Well, first of all, we should force them to speak out. I know you're not a fan of Ilhan Omar, but she was honored yesterday by people such as Angela Davis, and she speaks out, and she speaks out on the issue of Venezuela and, you know, and our intervention there. And we need – the problem with Congress is that they are agreeing with what Trump is doing. They
sure
think we should go in there and get Venezuelan oil. By the way, I just remembered one point I wanted to make. Venezuela has the largest oil reserve of any country on the earth and the second largest gold reserves, and that's why we're there. And our sanctions have been killing Venezuelans. And there's a gentleman, Jeffrey Sachs, who just did an article in The Economist, and he talks about how we have been killing these people with our sanctions. I mean, we've just been destroying the economy.
Well, we have to do something, and the one thing we do not want is for this administration to get by with an outrageous act. We talked about it, we saw it coming, and here it has happened, and there is nothing but silence.
Well, luckily, I don't think it's quite silence. There are people demonstrating.
I'm talking about in terms of the administration. There's nothing but silence. There's nothing
well,
but
they,
silence.
Well, they've actually come out and told lies. You know, they said Maduro was on his way to Cuba, but Russia stopped him, and that the defense minister had defected. And Maduro came out with the defense minister. So there are some good things happening in that we can see the things that Pompeo and Bolton are saying and that they're not true. And this, I'm getting this from RT, but also very good coverage from Democracy Now. So they're not totally quiet. And Bolton is trying
I'm not talking about, you know, the alternative media. People are saying things. I'm talking about where it matters. And where it matters is in Congress. Where it matters is within, in a very loud and discernible way, who is speaking to and for Venezuela in this administration.
Can I just say as a last thing that I think as Democrats, I'm assuming a lot of people are Democrats, they need to call their congressmen and women and let them know that they're against this sort of thing.
Well,
and let them know that we don't believe what we're hearing in the mainstream media.
I don't know how this is working out or will work out, but I do know that we should also come to realize something, and that is we are being played, and we are going along with it. We're not supposed on this day, we're not supposed to have any opinion about it. We're supposed to do what they're doing, which is just shut up. Shut up and let's get through this, and at some point in the future, we'll probably use this as a discussion in, you know, when we do public forums. But there is a major infraction of international law here. And we, the people, need to let that be known. This administration has been inexcusable in its involvement in this situation in Venezuela. Thanks, Lisa, for getting us started today.
You're welcome.
From Orlando, you're on the air. Hello, Tony. Okay. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon to my beautiful, beloved, shining star and my parents, my family. I really don't know. But what I'm thinking, you were saying that what are we supposed to do? You see, from my standpoint, you know, the masses of the American people have been, their minds have been taken. First, you have to know how serious this is, and first, you have to know what's happening. That the masses of the American people have no clue. Whatsoever. You see what I'm saying? Number one, we are looking to Congress. These people are just workers, just like anybody else. They do what they're told. That's it. They don't represent us. If even Trump himself, we all know he's a madman. We know that. So what would make us think he has anything to do with this? This thing was put in place by those who control that government. That the so-called government has been hijacked. Period.
Okay, let's say you're right on all these points. But how does that solve this issue of our renegade government doing outrageous things in other people's countries, creating all kinds of havoc? And then today, although yesterday was a fierce day of fighting, today we return to normal as if what? Nothing happened.
Because the majority of the American people have no clue. We're mindless people. Our mind has been taken over. Our minds have been taken over. Because when you could tell 300 million people, let's make America great again, and they buy into that. I mean, think of that kind of mind. Because the first thing I say to myself is, when was America great? You mean when you murdered the First Nation people? Or is it when you robbed their land? Or is it when you kidnapped African people? When was it great? That's the question, and nobody asks that question.
Let's deal with the issue at hand. This has happened now. What should be happening in the United States in terms of getting accountability from this current administration for what is going on and what has gone on in Venezuela?
What should be happening in UTS is what happened in the 60s, the protest and the rebellion all over this country, and the outrage. The left, a gang of thugs, leading us down the road of no return. That's how serious this situation is. But we have no clue.
I think we have a clue. I don't know that we have organized ourselves to a point where when something like this happens, the response is certain and immediate. We haven't reached that point, and I've been complaining about it all the time. We have not organized ourselves so that when a matter of great urgency occurs, the first thing that we have to do is organize and then respond. By then, the situation, is moot. We have to respond. It can't be right that today people just got up and did their thing, that they did the day before, and life is normal. When we have had this government behave in a way that is highly objectionable and wrong, just plain wrong and illegal. And today, life goes on as usual, without any commentary, without any challenge from Congress, without any views to the contrary, and we just keep moving on. I find that to be objectionable. And I think that should give us reason to examine what we are doing, what we ourselves are doing, where we are at, as groups that say we are progressive and we object to this and object to that. And today's an ordinary day for us, too.
Here's where I disagree with you. In order for us to be organized, because an organized lie is more effective than a disorganized truth. Remember, just look at the media.
I'm not denying where you're going with this. I'm not denying that there are serious points to consider as you present them. These are very important points. But you can't tell me, because we've seen this particular situation develop. We've talked about it. And in as much as we could spot it, we know there are people in Congress who spot it. We know there are legislators locally and statewide who spotted it. But nobody says a thing, which means they've given approval. silence is approval.
Yes, I agree with you. But, again, remember, these people are looking out for themselves, and they're just workers. They do what they're told, period. They don't represent us. We are, I thought we were the government. Many of our people look into Washington for the government. They're not the government. But that's what we have. We have a gang of thugs. We are the government. They're supposed to do what we want, not what they want to do. And we don't even realize this. The majority of the people do not realize this because they're not taught. It's not like you have a PR.
It tells us where we are. I said, this is outrageous, and it tells us where we are. And where we are is a very bad place. And we really have no reason to pretend that we are making a difference in doing what we ought to do because of our consciences and because of our ideology and all of that stuff. We simply have failed.
Yeah.
It is not right that today, based on what has happened in the last few days, that we have nothing to show in terms of what we have done as a community. What have we done with regard to the values that we espouse and the things that we say we believe in and the work that we say we're doing? And today, it is deafening silence. And we are in the same bucket as the legislators who have said nothing, as the administration that has said nothing. We're all in the same bucket today. And we ought to understand that. And it's a shame, I think. Thanks a lot, Willie, for your call. Chris from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hey, Trace, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Good. So you're raising up a lot of points, which are valid, about the Congress is quiet. Nobody's saying anything. And a previous caller had mentioned their complicity and they agree with what's going on. And the other question you raised was, what are the people doing? The last time that I can remember a bunch of people going out into the street for anti-war was the Iraq invasion. And what ended up happening, the whole world went out to the street, everywhere, and they invaded anyway. I think that, at least for me, that was a lot, very discouraging, you know what I'm saying? But you make a valid point that the people need to do something. Even if what the government is going to do, whatever they're going to do at the end of the day, like you said, what are the values that we hold, that we espouse? Do you believe in it or not? So I think that's what I think.
What form, in your mind, what form could it take? Because now it is almost like, well, it's a done deal. They've done it.
Right.
What could we do now? We're reacting. Because there wasn't much agitation prior to the actual clash occurring. But now right. that it has, what is especially important?
What's important is for people to be informed. And what's ironic is that in the age of information, where you have a computer in your pocket, most of the time, access to information, people are more misinformed than ever. And that will shape your opinion and direct what kind of action you need to take. But I find that so many people I talk to, they repeating the same thing that they're hearing on the regular TV. Same thing they repeat. The other point is what form it should take. It has to be something huge. It's a massive shutdown. That has to. I think that's the next thing. And for some reason, I don't think it's going to happen until some nature catastrophe or some another cold terrorist attack, maybe, that the country will shut down, and then people will be forced to take some action and make sacrifices, because at that point there would be nothing to lose. But
personally, what do you see is the real issue here? What is the real issue to you?
The real issue in terms of what?
What do you see as the issue? The United States conducted operations in another country and so forth.
Yes.
How do you define the issue based on your understanding of it?
I define it as business as usual for the United States foreign policy. There's a whole bunch of records of illegalities and invasions and coups. That's what the United States government does. It's business as usual. that's how I see it. And they stay doing illegal stuff like this all the time.
Do you think that the people could basically change this course that we've been following for so many years as a country? Of interfering in other sovereign nations in all kinds of ways, but bringing about a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble for these countries. Where do you think we can have, as people organizing ourselves, where do you think we can have some leverage?
The leverage, this trajectory where it's going, I don't think that the people rising up could turn it around, because that's the modus operandi of the empire. It's an empire, it's imperialistic, it's a colonial ambition, and this is all backed by the philosophy of American exceptionalism, and even white supremacy. You know, they don't need to respect a sovereign nation like Venezuela and sit down at the table. They want it all, and they feel entitled to it all. And so the people, I think, will have a minimal effect on trying to turn this thing around with the intervention in Venezuela. That's the way I see it.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for offering your thoughts and for giving us something to consider. Thanks, Chris, for your call today.
Thank you, Yatrice. All right.
All right. And David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello.
As I look at this, to me, it is like the masses of people in the United States of America have been essentially neutered. The things that the president is doing in Venezuela is nothing new. The United States does this as part of being an empire. And this goes on all over the world. The latest thing is in Venezuela. The point is that most people in the country, as I see it, they have accepted empire. They have drunk the Kool-Aid about how we're exceptional, and they're accepting the concept of empire with the United States being the controller of the whole world. And even though it's not in their interest, the empire is in the interest, as we know, of the ruling elite, and against the interests of the people outside the United States and also in the United States. That's why we have the conditions of people here as we do now, you know, where people are behind when it comes to all the social and economic things that they should have, and they don't have them. But we're sold on the concept of empire. So we send our children to fight in their wars. We do all the kinds of things that come about as a result of the overall policy of divide and conquer, which is the chief policy, led by the number one tactic, which is racism, and then ethnic divisions and divisions by any way they can cut it, including class, where they separate the so-called middle class from the poor people rather than having a working class that's doing all the work and creating all the wealth as the ruling class rules and gets richer and richer. So as I see it, people have bought into this. They bought into the white supremacy racism and all the things that are used to control the people. And that's what's going on. As far as Venezuela and all this nonsense about dictatorship and whatnot, that's something that every country who has a problem or thinks you think they maybe need a change, they handle that within their country. You don't stand up here in the United States and tell the people in Venezuela what they should do or in any other country. But that's what an empire does. That's what a country like the United States can do, going around the world and talking nonsense about peace, but forgetting about justice here in this country especially. So the point is that we have a very difficult situation. It's very difficult in this country. The ruling class is so skillful in propaganda at all levels that they're able to bamboozle the people for to the point where they don't take action against them. The Congress, most of them are crooks, not everyone, but some of them, I'd say most, in the pocket of someone. So it means that it would have to be a massive upheaval of people to get any action, you know, much, much more than during the civil rights movement. And as was just mentioned, that during the 2013 with the Iraq invasion, they had tremendous demonstrations, but that wasn't enough to stop Bush from going over to Iraq and murdering all those people. So the point is that it's very difficult when people have been bamboozled, and we have a situation where people are so put into position that they go along with a policy of imperialism all over the world that doesn't benefit them. That's the point. It doesn't benefit them, but they're going along with it anyway. So that's the problem that we have as I see it. I don't have a magic solution on how to change that, but it is going to take more than writing a letter to the Congress or making some comment to the president or impeaching him or something, because most of these presidents are crooks. They all have, most of them belong in the Hague somewhere on trial for mass murder and so forth. So that's the situation as I see it that we have now.
Okay, well, thank you. And that would be the last note today on the subject. We will come back to it because it is so vitally important. It's also about us. How do we see ourselves as agents of change, if in fact we see ourselves this way? What are we compelled to do when something like this happens? How do we flex our muscle? How do we make it known that despite all of the things that you have going for you, the propaganda machines, the media, a sympathetic media and so forth, there are people who are going to stand up to you and who are going to stand for some kind of justice in this world. So that is the challenge to us. So as we end the program, I want you to mark this date. It is going to be May the 26th, Sunday, May the 26th. I'll be coming to the community church. I've been invited to give an address there, and I'm looking forward to it. It's not part of the service. It is a special lecture. This is the second time I've been invited, and I'm so delighted because the first time was incredible. I tell you, just incredible. And it was nothing sophisticated. It was just people getting together and shaking hands and introducing ourselves to each other and forming community. And that's what I hope to continue to do on May the 26th. It's free. There's no charge to come in. And there'll be something to drink and something to munch on before the lecture begins. So that is part of what we call registration at 12:30. Come in and you can get your conversation started before the conversation starts. So I hope to see you there. Bring a friend or 20 and we'll have a great time. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.